I just thought that was hilarious that the player kind of took a tumble and then Molly's down. The ball bops him and it goes in. I love it.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and in today's episode, we'll be talking about our 1-1 tie at Indy 11. First time, I believe, that we play Indy, if I'm not mistaken, and in a strange situation with an own goal. I think it's been quite some time since we've gotten a goal in favor of us, right? That ends up being an own goal, which also means that no one gets a point in first goal or in first assist for our podcast winner dinner, which is a shame. I know that no one gets a point in that matter, but valuable tie nonetheless away. So we'll be talking about that game. Of course, we'll also be speaking a little bit more about the Open Cup and some of the results that we saw last week. Some interesting ones, especially the one with El Farolito beating an MLS Next Pro team, which I know most of us maybe listening right now are going to be rooting against the MLS Next Pro teams, especially after what happened after the Don Garber situation. So we'll be sharing the results there. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and introduce our two co-hosts here. First, I'm going to go over to Jared because I think Sharon's coughing a little bit there. So, Jared, how's it going, man? Happy early birthday, because your birthday will be here before we know it in, 2 days, right?
Yes, it's Wednesday. Thank you again. Oh, I cannot believe it's already the end of March. As far as this goes, I know basketball's getting crazy, and Republic season is going excellent so far. And of course, some of y'all have already seen the video, so that goes without explanation. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to talk about this past weekend match, and looking forward to Memphis.
That's great. That's so funny. Your birthday coming up, because I have fond memories of prior birthdays with you, and just kind of bummed, Jared, that we won't be together this year for your birthday. But, you know, hopefully down the road we'll be able to get over to the Texas Bureau when that happens. Yeah, we have seen the video, and always appreciate your memes. I'm doing good, a little bit tired. We'll talk about that in a second. Bone tired, and I know Luis is also bone tired. I'm going to spoil it for you, Luis. Luis ran a half marathon yesterday on Sunday, and the dude is upright standing, and we're just so proud of him for accomplishing that goal. And from what I understand, next year he's shooting for a full marathon. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like running to keep you in shape. I wish I still could, but my knees are toast. So it's on you, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling it. That next day half marathon feel of complete soreness, but thankfully I can stand up and still walk. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of preparation for me for the full marathon, because it takes a toll on you. And, you know, I've experienced a lot. But if anyone wants to feel really accomplished when it comes to running, half marathon is the way to go, because that really tests your limits in so many different ways. And all that. So especially when it's pretty cold out there, when you don't know if it's going to rain. So that there was that added challenge to it. But other than that, I mean, it was a interesting weekend of soccer, right? Not only Sac Republic, we also had the final of the CONCACAF Nations League, which,
woo! Once again, Dos Aceros. Sorry, Luis. Oh my God. Sorry. Did that come out? That was supposed to be I was supposed to stay muted during that. You were just supposed to see my antics sitting behind. But yeah, 2-0, 2-0.
Which, sorry. as I've always said, both are my countries. I used to be more completely Mexico, I think, when I was younger. But over time, I've been like, you know what? Both are my countries. I support both countries. When they play each other, it's a bit tough to see them play. Yeah, once again, the 2-0, which, you know, contrary to what everyone might think, I know that I support Mexico as well. I'm not saying that I'm not going to support them now, just but I actually do like to see that. And anytime I see an MLS team beat a Mexican team, that's also great, unless it's Cruz Azul, of course, because I never want to see an MLS team beat us. But I think it's great because it just goes to show how much, you know, the sport has grown here and how much we've been talking about for the longest time that, you know, we've been seeing improvements despite Don Garber trying to have MLS not participate in Open Cup and all that. It just still shows that we have talented players that they might have all not started in MLS, a lot of our European guys, but they started somewhere. A lot of them started somewhere here, some of them even in USL and just made the jump. It's really great to see just again the progress of the sport in our country, and it's a reflection of all the different teams that we're seeing, and even just here in the Valley, because I think back to when I was in high school trying to play soccer and all that, and there wasn't that much opportunities here, and now we got just a bunch of teams. Like, no matter where you're at in the Central Valley, there's a team somewhere that you can play in, whether it's in League One, League Two, MPSL, other leagues as well. I mean, just some local, even just Sunday League, soccer complexes. I mean, there's a lot going on. So it's just really great. And as soccer fans, I know it makes us happy to see the growth of the sport.
I think that was so well said until, of course, I have the explosion thing occur. That was so well said, Luis. I really respect everything that you just said. And I actually feel the same. Watching the United States play against Mexico and Mexico play against the United States, even though the stadium was packed with not so many USA fans, but it was packed with Mexico fans, I hurt in a way for Mexico because of their inability to break through. You know, you kind of really want an even matchup, and you know, just there was a talent advantage that the USA had. I know Mexico was missing a couple of their players, their key players. Not saying that the US wasn't either. You know, Tyler Adams could only go 45 minutes. That was his limit that he was allowed. But there was athleticism that we, you know, the US has always been known for their stark athleticism. And now we're coming into an era where we can actually dribble the ball. And, you know, you saw that with Sergiño Dest. You saw that with Gio Reyna. I mean, you saw it was a whole different midfield from the United States. You know, we still had our big bruisers in the backfield, you know, in the D, but it was just, my heart went out to, you know, the Mexican side, you know, cause that listening to the US broadcasters, you know, there were moments where they were sensing concern for the coach, for the Mexican side. Mm. And I was emoting right along with that. You know, it's like you don't want either coach to be put into a situation just based on this one match, you know, as the litmus test for the coach. But at the end of the day, you know, Mexico, I think, has more wins against the United States. I mean, lately it's been us in many of the competitions. But anyhow, I enjoyed watching it, and I really did enjoy the result, and I enjoyed watching the innocence of the players who were just purely happy to play and do everything that they could for the States. You know, it just, you could just see that. You could see a different type of bond that this squad has. It's almost like they're trying to be like the women, you know, the women's national team, build that bond. Like almost all of the players, not that this is a litmus test, again, I use that term, all the players sang the national anthem. That didn't always happen. You know, we had players that would just kind of goof around. Every player hugged everybody when they came off the pitch. There was a hugging of the coach. Now, I don't know where that comes from, you know, because the players, that has to be organic. But it seemed like all of them were very tight-knit. Nobody was left out. And that, I don't think I've seen that from the U.S. men's national team in a long time. You see it with the others, you know, teams like Mexico and all the other countries. I mean, incredibly tight-knit. But this was refreshing to see. I really enjoyed it.
No, even the Mexico side too. I mean, I think US has seen a lot of growth. Mexico has seen a lot of decline in what's been going on. But it's the result of just a lot of bad decisions made. Like, they got rid of ProRail. That was a big thing. And it works here in the US because that's just the sport model. And again, you have more players that aren't playing in MLS that are in the national team. And then also players get paid so well in Mexico that it's really difficult for them to give up money when they go to Europe. That's another issue that it's almost like they got to like knock that down don't pay him as well, because that's how you get players that are going to be more motivated to go. And that's the only way you grow your game is going to Europe, because we know that's where the top players play at. So they don't change anything, especially Pro Rel. They don't bring that back. It's going to be the same old thing, which is a shame, because you got the World Cup coming soon. And if they're playing that way, it's going to be an embarrassing World Cup for them. Now, for the U.S., I think they could do really well. They still have some time, right? And I'm sure they'll be playing with more top countries as the years go on before the World Cup. But it's a really good sign for them, especially having the World Cup here. And we could think back to 94. We know the team that we had back then. And it's nice to be able to feel confident, right? You're hosting it here. And we can now finally feel like other top countries feel when they host the World Cup, right? Like when Brazil did, when Germany did, right? They felt favorites because they were in their home turf. So there's that. But all right, Sharon, go ahead and introduce us to Golazos of Gratitude.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Golazos of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Golazos of Gratitude. Here we go. And I think I'm going to turn to my buddy Jared, who's still in Arizona, to give us his quick snapshot rundown of Golazos of Gratitude. And then I'll go next, and then I'll turn it over to Luis, because I want to say something. But I want Jared to go first.
All right, well, I do have some Golazos of Gratitude. And in general, first of all, from yesterday's Foodieland Phoenix, I want to give a big glasses of gratitude to Sack Pop Up Foods. I was surprised to actually see them have a food truck all the way from Sacramento here in Avondale. And they made an amazing ramen and Chinese sausage burrito. And it was delicious. It made me feel like I was back on Franklin Boulevard. And also, at the same time, back on Stock Boulevard. It's just like I said, hashtag 95824 ever. So, big glasses of gratitude to them. Also, big glasses of gratitude to our most favorite person, Connor, because I had made a comment on the Republic FC post in regard to what had happened with Box 40. He let me wear that it was not on the Vista Worldwide end, but indeed on Fox 40, and he actually explained a few things here and there. So appreciate the update on that, Connor. So definitely grateful for that. And of course, everyone in the chat, you know, keeping the game lively on Saturday, you know, for those that were able to see it. And also for Sky River Casino, I believe the name is, for creating a watch party. Granted, yes, it's a good one for the 21+, but I wonder if there's going to be any family-aged watch parties. I guess we'll have to see.
Probably not at Sky River, at least not yet. No, their gaming floor is 21 and over, and you know they can't necessarily keep it separate. But it was a good test on Saturday to see what a watch party at Sky River would look like. And that is one of my glosses of gratitude, because I went. And I will tell you, the staff from Sac Republic and Sky River, Michael hit it out of the park. He was in charge of all of that. My buddy Michael, who probably made sure that we actually got this wonderful sponsor. No, it probably wasn't Michael. It was Dustin Bikari and his staff that probably finagled it, but Michael was Donato was kind of keeping an eye on how the whole watch party unfolded, and there was a bunch of staff there. Era showed up, you know, Taylor showed up. They had so many people there, and it was fun, and they made it fun, and they made, you know, they had a PA, and it was packed. I mean, it was actually pretty well attended. Cassandra was there. I sat with Mechanich's Mike and Michael and Chris. And her parents, and then John came, and my sister came, and then Melanie and Scott Brewer came. So we had kind of like this one little pod, and there were little pods all over the place. It was something. the 32 people that got their free appetizers were pleased. And it wasn't just like a puny little appetizer, like, you know, 10 chips and a little thing of guacamole. No, the appetizers were monster. And I didn't even get a chance to post how big they were. It was like the nacho plate was one of those giant plates, and it was loaded top to bottom. Chris couldn't even get, it looked like she hadn't even eaten anything. That's how big it was, because she couldn't get, it was huge. All of their appetizers were generous, very generous. It was big. And so those of us who got a free app, we were pleased as punch. And then they had the specialty drinks, you know, just for Sac Republic. They also had ones for the Kings. It was just, it was a good atmosphere. And then we all went and either dropped money or won money afterwards on the gaming floor. I was one of the ones that turned $40 into 75 cents or 9 cents, maybe even 13 cents. Who knows? But I dropped a lot of money on there. My other clauses of gratitudes are as follows. I've been able to score some free meals. My friends, after we did a neighborhood, we stuffed a bunch of eggs for Easter baskets because we're going to be giving them away, you know, in my neighborhood. Everybody knows that I have a neighborhood association I'm active in. And it's not an HOA. I always say that too. They were fabulous people. We've decided that we want to have meals together. So I got treated to a meal on Friday. I got treated to a meal after our neighborhood event. Thank you very much, everybody who participated in our Easter event yesterday. Got treated again to another meal and surrounded by great friends. And then today, after doing a cleanup in my neighbor's yard, got treated to pizza and beer from the neighbor's son. So I feel very well taken care of and very well fed. But then, you know, we expend the effort to help others and, you know, make the community a better place. And the rewards just come without even asking. It's just, I just got to thank all the people that have been involved with all of those things up until just a few minutes ago. I got another freebie. Well, you guys saw me eat the apple cake. I was eating the apple cake while you guys were yammering away. I'm like wolfing this apple cake down. So, you know, if gaining 10 pounds because I'm getting treated, you know, what goes around comes around, guys.
For my gloss of gratitude, okay, so first one goes out to my girlfriend, Alicia. She's gotten a few of them here throughout the podcast in the last few months, but I actually got two for her in particular here. So first one is because she motivated me to actually go out and actively play soccer, right? Not just me go out and just like kick the ball on my own and all that, but actually seek a team to play with. And in the course of doing so, I actually came to find out that in the soccer complex that I go to often here in town, in Modesto, I actually came across some pickup soccer that is organized by MYSA, by someone there. If I remember the person's name, I would mention it right now. I'll see if I can remember his name later on. Essentially, it's a fun thing that they offer for adults Mondays and Thursdays. It's not till like 8:30 to 10 p.m. at night, but it's super fun. I mean, anyone can come by. You just pay $5 and you get a bib, get chosen into a team, and you're playing with like 8 or 9 others in like half of a field. You got the goal nets out and all that. So I had a lot of fun. It was really cool. So just again, thank you to my girlfriend for motivating me to do that, because I, you know, looked more information and I come to find out that there's that. And the best thing is that there's no commitment to having to be there every Monday and Thursday. It's whenever you can go. You just have to register half an hour before, and they do have limited spots as well. I don't know what the limitations are, but I'm assuming maybe like up to 50 participants, which when I was there, there's probably around 35-ish people. So you do get people from all over the Central Bar that actually go there. I actually met a guy from Tracy and a few others. I was hearing their conversations, and it seemed like they were coming from other parts of the valley, not just Modesto, which is really awesome. It shows dedication that people have to the sport to keep active, especially people who are currently playing for teams out there. Another one out, again, to my girlfriend for being at the race yesterday, taking that video that I shared on my page and just cheering me on. Felt really good, because when I was running that last part of the race, especially when I was getting so close to the finish line, I like to sprint, but my feet were giving up on me. So I barely made it. I was still able to jog. I still kept through and risking it a little bit, because I could have maybe gotten injured, but but I didn't want to finish walking. So shout out to her for cheering me on and just, again, me feeling that motivation to just keep on jogging and not daring to walk or even just stop right there. Another one goes out to Jared for actually responding to my inquiry on our group chat that we have here between us three, because when I was driving back from going to the border for a few days, I was trying to watch the game. The Fox 40 app just wasn't working. I hope they fixed that, because it shouldn't be that way. But Jared brought up the suggestion of actually pulling the website up on my phone. I was a little worried that it would be lagging a little bit, but it loaded pretty quick. The page took a little bit. At least the stream was really good. So shout out to Jared for mentioning that. And also just to the watch party organizers, the team, Sky River, also for providing really good appetizers. I'm glad that y'all had appetizers that were basically just full-on meals. That's super generous of them. And hopefully, you know, they keep doing the watch parties there and more people can make it out there. Hopefully I can make it out there one of those days. And, you know, they might not have the appetizers for free, but Sharon, you describing a full plate of nachos as an appetizer, I'm like, sign me up for that. As long as it's not like a little tiny plate like other places serve you, right? I'll get an appetizer all day, every day for dinner.
I just hope that if they do it again at Sky River, that they do the same thing with the first 32 people through the door, get a coupon for a free appetizer. Because it was funny, because I thought I was going to be late. I had forgotten my phone. And I have to thank John. Well, I even texted him. It's like, if you get there, save me a spot in line. Well, I got there before him, even though I had to go back and get my phone. And when I got there, because I know where to park, where you don't have to like walk all the way through the casino. You just kind of pop in and you're right there at 32 Bruce. Anyhow, so I thought that was funny. But yeah, so it was just great. Chris, of course, and her family, they got there at freaking 2 or 2:30. And then they found out that they had to wait until 3:30, but it's just, they didn't have to. And they got in there really early. So of course they all got the appetizer coupon. Mike, Chris, you know, Chris's mom and her mom's husband, Lucky Dogs, they all got. My sister didn't get there quite in time for the free coupon appetizer, but it didn't matter because we just had so much fun. We had so much fun. It was actually a good vibe and it was a good venue. We were out on the patio. There was no smoke. There was no smoke out on the patio. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Yeah, you had to kind of walk through a little bit of the casino to get there, but it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't like it was super packed. It wasn't nighttime yet, so it wasn't super crowded. And it was good. Solid. I'd go. We all said we would go again because it ended up being fun. Yeah.
And how she described the nachos, I mean, it just takes me back to when I worked a year contract at Apple over on Laguna. Their cafeteria had what we call Nacho Mountain, because it's basically you can barely get the to-go container closed after they put all the different toppings on nachos, the cheese, jalapenos, this, that, everything like that. That just makes me think how Sharon described the nachos there at Sky River. So now I'm tempted. I mean,
so
I do a...
I'm going to send you a picture of the nacho platter because I think I still have it somewhere on my phone. Okay, it's coming to you now. If you look hard at how big that platter is and the size of Chris, you know, where she's holding it, she's holding it across her chest. And then the onion ring stack. The onion ring stack is one appetizer, but I would for sure get those nachos. Check those nachos out. Look at how big that tray is. It's a huge tray. It's a tray of nachos.
My stomach's starting to get flashbacks of Foodie Land as far as how full I'm getting just seeing those nachos.
Yeah. And then the quesadilla plate, I don't know if you can blow this one up, but there was a tray of quesadillas. I mean, a plate. It's a large plate. And it's a huge quesadilla.
Yeah. Oh, look at all the wow! Is that guac too? That's guac, right? The little side of guac.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. And that pretzel. Okay, that's like a ginormous pretzel. It's larger than your head. Yeah. Oh, and then that one drink there that you see in the front—that's the special one. That one's called the Sac Republic. They have another one called the Herbs Indomita, I think. And so, anyhow, And then John got a tray of a platter, chicken wings. And it wasn't just like three wings. It was like a whole platter of them. And I think we had initially intended we were going to share our appetizers, but nobody did. Okay. I had a bite of a pretzel. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, y'all listening. Yeah. These appetizers are something else too. And I wonder, I mean, if they're always like that, then hey, if you go to a watch party, free appetizers or not, I mean, you'll get full with just the regular appetizers, which is a good sign, right? I mean, if you can get full with them, like that's good.
You go to too many restaurants anymore. Like you go to look at their appetizer menu and it's like you get three wontons or, gyoza or something like that. And that's your appetizer and you're paying like $12 or $15 for that. These appetizers were super cheap. Oh, Jared, the desserts in the back court, because they have a food court and everything there is super inexpensive. $5 for a monster-sized dessert. $5. Who gets dessert for $5 anywhere? A big monster-sized dessert.
Yeah. Not really a whole lot of places, no.
Right? So the drinks were less than Sac Republic Stadium beers, so wow, it was fun. I would go again. Totally go again.
I don't know. I'm a little concerned if they try this whole first 32 appetizers thing, might end up like a Las Vegas cash cannon incident.
Yeah, I could see some people sitting there going there at 1 o'clock and gaming and keep running back over. Is it time? Can we get in? So hopping the fence, trying to break through the window. In the summertime, their windows, they actually take them out, and it's an open patio. So I could see people trying to hop
over. Oh, yeah. You'll definitely see some of that, maybe not too often, but at least once or twice.
Yeah. They go. You would like this. So there's a hard red curb on the south side of the casino, a hard red curb raised. It's big. On one side of that curb is Sovereign Land, and on the other side of the curb where the parking lot is not. And that curb is purposely put there to delineate Sovereign from not Sovereign Land. So it's kind of like when you step over that curb, you got to remember, I am entering Sovereign territory.
It's just like we have here with the Gila River Bend, as well as the Salt River Pima reservations. They've got signs about it because, yes, they have casinos there, but also, tribal land. So it's awesome to hear that they have that over there.
Anyhow, I know there's a game that we have to talk about. I mean, we can talk about all the fun, exciting interactions that we had. But at the end of the day, we were all at the watch party to watch the game together and chant. We were chanting during. So, it took a while to get things rolling in this game. I will tell you that. So, but in the background, Luis is walking us through some of the highlights. I don't think we looked very pedestrian. I think we were actually doing quite a bit of running because it was 45 freaking degrees at game time, and it only got colder from there. So you can imagine our guys definitely spent some time staying in motion, which was the important part of the match.
Yeah, and not a lot of people were at the stadium too, which is another... Which is, coming from a Miami game where we spoke a little bit right about attendance, I was a little surprised not see as many there in Indy, right? Considering, again, that's not really a Miami situation there. You don't have an MLS team there. But quite interesting, especially considering that this is actually their home opener game, right? Because previously they had played at Memphis, which is actually a rival this Saturday. And then before that, they had played in Oakland. So, yeah, a little surprised to see that, especially with pretty good weather, right? I mean, you had the sun out, pretty good pitch, too. I got to say, that's a really nice pitch, the lengthwise and all that. And so, it was quite interesting. But in looking at the game, I mean, the first goal, we talked about it here earlier, right? It was an own goal. I can't remember the last time that we got an own goal. For us, but I call this own goal the karma own goal because you guys look at the repetition. First of all, good passing between Aldair and Russell. Aldair gets in position. He puts the cross, and I know it's not technically counted, but I mean, it could be an assist to an own goal because that was where it was going to. But the guy who ends up scoring the own goal, you guys look back and don't focus too much on the ball play going on, but focus more on the guy who ends up scoring the own goal. He is holding on to Trevor's jersey, and that should have been a PK right there. I don't know if the referee would have actually called it. I would have been a little disappointed. Harina would be right here saying that we were owed a PK, but I call it the karma goal right there because he was trying to knock him down, give us a PK, and he ends up being the one that ends up scoring the own goal. So PK or not, I think it was really funny because it was definitely karma hitting him for, you know, trying to yank Trevor Amon's jersey. I get it. You know, he's our top goal scorer and everyone in the league wants his jersey. Come on, you could ask for it maybe at the end of the game. You know, I'm sure he'll probably trade for it if you were cool. But no, yeah.
So I think this is actually quite humorous because he's pulling on Trevor Amon's jersey, right? He's trying to pull him down. And then what he does to detract from the fact that he'd already fouled him, he actually falls down on the ground, like Trevor caused him to fall on the ground. And when he's down on the ground was when the ball smacks him and goes in the goal. So that's even better. And, you know, there's some spice going on there, right? You know, as far as like the way that we all feel about the own goal. And I'm sure the players are all like, yeah, well, like you said, it's the karma own goal. But, you know, Trevor was right there. You know, had he had something not happened or, you know, had he not been touched, he probably would have scored that because he's got the nose for the goal. But I just thought that was hilarious that the player kind of took a tumble and then while he's down, the ball bops him and it goes in. I love it.
I still say, you know, it's got to be that Hoosier State hospitality. You know, they just told us, you know, hey, lay back. Have a lemonade, you know, let us do all the scoring work here for you.
Yeah. But unfortunately, even though we had this own goal and it was 1-0 for the longest time, things changed. I could look at that goal all day long, that own goal all day long. I mean, I should get, if there was a thing for the week, you know, like instead of goal of the week or player of the week, if we could just have own goal of the week, this would be that. Now, can anybody, I know that it's a shared stadium here. We had quite the discussion to figure out what IUPUI stood for because it's a shared stadium. So it's Indiana University, Purdue University of Indiana, right? Is that what IUPUI stands for? Indiana University, Purdue University, Indiana. I was right. Okay. So I just think, so it was funny because we kept seeing those letters in the middle and I forget who it was, if it was Michael or Chris that, you know, kind of spelled it out or John, but we were all trying to like, okay, IUPUI means something. So we're all seeing this, you guys. If you're listening, we're all seeing this in the background because Luis is reviewing the highlights with us. But he brings us to the 34th minute of the match where some play is being made, not by us.
Yeah, really a few minutes after that goal happened, right? Not much celebration, unfortunately for us, because shortly after they managed to get the tie in what was one of those plays where their forwards, smartly, right? I mean, he picks up the ball. The guy's quick, right? Augustin Williams. We've seen him in USL before, right? He's a goal scorer. And, you know, Connor Donovan, he couldn't do much there. I think it's one of those difficult ones where he maybe could have tackled him right there, right? Or maybe just, like, pulled the jersey, you know, pick up, like the own goal jersey pull of sorts there. And, you know, maybe just give him a foul right outside the box. But man, he was fast. I think even Connor maybe couldn't even reach him because he just went at it. He pulled the shot right to the corner where I don't care what goalkeeper we're talking about. Like, no goalkeeper would ever stop that because that's the spot where you really can score a goal, right? When you shoot that ball, it goes right to one of the corners where you're shooting from, it's more than likely going to be a goal, right? Unless the goalkeeper is like super long. But even then, you know, he knew where to put it and he got the goal. And yeah, we couldn't celebrate for too long.
So you're right. And the thing with this thing is we were zoning and we only had a single mark on Williams at the time. We left Connor alone with Williams, not thinking that he literally was just going to turn and shoot. He literally rolled off Connor's shoulder, took two steps and boom. So again, it was a single mark. Typically if we're zoning, we may have a second mark on him, but it didn't work out that way. And I don't know if Connor was playing too deep in the defense to let Williams get that high up and be just a single mark. But I don't know who it was that didn't get their jog back in time. If it was not, you know, Luis or if it was Nick. I think it was Luis was maybe supposed to join Connor. I don't think Lee was supposed to slide over. I don't think Jared was supposed to slide over. By the way, they had Jared as man of the match, you know, from the broadcast booth, our broadcast booth, that they named Jared as man of the match. And I'm not 100% why, but I think, you know, he was getting pretty beat up over there on that wing side. But again, they were able to isolate Williams, a 1v1. Our guys were caught ball watching. If you look, there was a couple times we were caught a little bit flat and ball watching in transition. So that's something that, again, Mark is going to have to work to clean up, you know, positionally. I don't know who was outside with Lee, if there was a player outside with Lee or if Lee was just hanging wide expecting a turnover. You know, he tried to compress, but it just wasn't fast enough. At least if Williams had missed and there was a knockdown rebound, I think Lee was in good position to pick up, you know, either the attacker or a loose ball. But it just, you can't let Connor get isolated 1v1 with a fast striker. You just can't. And they did it. So if there's any team that's listening to our podcast or who's doing the analysis just like us, you know, we're going to tighten that up and you're not going to be able to get that again. So this was a rare situation. You're not going to be able to roll off Connor Donovan without having a secondary mark on you. So don't even think, if you're a striker, don't even think you're going to do that again. Not to us. We're going to learn from that.
And if you need further proof, look back to last weekend. The man took a ball to the face. It should have been co-save of the week winner. But no, Tampa doesn't even want to touch it. They don't even want to deal with Danny Vigneault again. So if anything, that just shows you the tenacity and toughness of Connor Donovan over the past few years. I mean, the man has taken over Dan Casey's role of the club's Mick Foley, because the man will weather anything to get the job done.
Oh, yeah. We need a defender, right? After Dan left, we needed a solid rock back there, right? And Connor's definitely been that guy. But yeah, let's make sure to adjust that and don't let him have to mark a fast guy just by himself, because Connor's great and all, but speed might not be his forte, right? But he's got the speed.
He'll tell you that himself.
Yeah. So don't leave him in that situation too. Make sure he's got plenty of time and the guy doesn't have a foot advantage over him. But that's what happened there. And I want to move on to what I think is the critical play of the game. This is the one play where I think we could have gotten the win. I think it was probably the most clear play out of the whole game. And that happened towards the end of the match. Looking at the 87th minute, our leading goal scorer could have gotten his fourth goal. And I don't know what you guys are thinking.
He totally regrets this. He totally, totally regrets this. Totally.
Yeah. He had an open net, right, to actually pull a good shot. I mean, granted, there were some guys right there, and one could have maybe even gotten a touch to the ball. But just a guy like Trevor, when you're that goal scorer, I think he could have easily just, like, done a better shot. And it was just a shame that he didn't get it. I thought he'd be getting it there, because he was in a good position there to shoot wherever he wanted to shoot.
But look how the pocket collapsed on him. They had four guys collapsing on Trevor. See how they had four guys collapsing on Trevor. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing that, you know, they kind of know how to protect the goal mouth, which kind of forced Trevor to have a different type of shot. But, you know, he himself, if you look at his body language after the shot, the look on his face, he holds his head with both hands. Like he knew it was a scuff and, you know, the dude wants it back. So hopefully these situations make us stronger and, you know, it gives us something to think about and work for. I did enjoy the subbing. You know, we had a few subs come in and it was nice. So, yeah, our ball possession, they even showed after the game, a lot of us stuck around for a little while to listen to the post-match commentary. And it was nice to see that our possession is moving along in the right direction. Remember last year we would win games with 35% possession? Remember how that was last year? And it was like, you know, we need to clean that up. We need to have better possession. So we're starting to see that out of this team.
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a lot of shots, especially when we're talking about an away game, to have more possession, to have more shots on target, right? I mean, we had double the shots that they had, like 14 versus 7. Shots on target, 3 versus 1. Now, they did have an opportunity where it hit the crossbar, right? It was in the second half. So there was that. That could have completely changed the game. Oh. Thankfully, luck was on our side, and that's what happened. But yeah, this should have been a game that we should have gotten the 3 points. Just like in that home opener game where we were so close to getting them as well. But yeah, we just need to adjust some things because we definitely don't want to go back to the tie-in days that Jared remembers very well when he used to mention Men's Warehouse quite often here on the show. We don't want to mention that anymore. They can keep all their ties because we want the 3 points. We've had enough ties. I think the closet's already full enough from previous years that we don't need anymore. We've got all kinds of ties already.
Yeah, speaking of quotes, I'm just glad I did not hit submit on all those 6,000 shirts I was going to have designed. Death, taxes, I'm on goal. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to hold off on that. Yeah, we got too spoiled with them scoring technically in every match until this past Saturday. So it's like, that I'm on goal should be coming up anytime soon. And then unfortunately, this opportunity doesn't hold true, but I know he'll be back at it, getting that fourth goal against Memphis.
Yeah, it's a shame, right? It would have been so nice to say, and it probably would have been the first time that you have a Sac Republic player score in 3 consecutive games. I mean, I don't have the stats here. Maybe we can ask Rayan if that's the case, but I feel like there probably is another player that could say the same thing for Sac. But that's what happened. Again, just 1-1 tie. But next week, we are finally going to go back home on Saturday to play against Memphis 901, who's actually only played 2 games, is what we were looking at earlier. And it's kind of interesting how they've only played 2, and you got, you know, other teams that played 3. You have a team that's played 1 game. So kind of scheduling's all over the place. I'm sure there's reasons behind that, but their track record this season is a 2-1 win at home in their home opener against Las Vegas Lights, and then a 2-1 loss against Indy 11, also at home. So we'll see how this Saturday goes. But start time, 7 p.m. Check it out. Should be a good one. I think it's the first time that Memphis travels to Sac, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm trying to remember last season if they did. You remember, Jared?
Well, I believe that the last year's was actually in AutoZone Park, I believe.
Okay.
I may be wrong about that, but I could swear I remember them traveling to Memphis last year.
Yeah, and let's remember that Memphis is now in the West this year, right? So we will be traveling to Tennessee as well later on in the season. So if anyone wants to go travel, that sounds like a fun traveling trip to visit Memphis there, but that'll be later on. But let's go ahead and real quick take a look at the standings, how they're looking like. Even though we only won once and we've tied twice, we're in first place with 5 points, shared with Orange County, with Uncle Ruckus FC, sadly. they're right there, but hopefully they start to get a loss here and there. And Monterey Bay is also up there. Monterey, I think, is going to have a really good team this year, improving from last year. We know last year, I think they didn't make playoffs. And I'm sure all the players were like wanting to be there. And it's nice to see them there. And also Oakland Roots are below them in fifth place with 4 points along with New Mexico. And then FC Tulsa is that one team I said that has only played one game. But hey, one game, one win. So 3 points right there. And then the team we're playing against is Saturday, Memphis, in eighth place with 2 games played and 3 points. So we want to make sure that we get the win, that we don't lose, because if we lose, they are going to go up to first place and we will no longer be tied in first there. And surprisingly, out of this whole table is we see Phoenix Rising down there, which I know makes Jared quite happy. They won one and
they
lost
two. Finally scored! They finally scored for the first time in all season long!
And then also, even more shockingly, is seeing El Paso with 4 games played and 1 point in 11th place right before last place. And to add to that, Colorado Springs or Republic Switchbacks, last place, 3 games played, 0 points. I don't know what's going on in Colorado, but that is crazy to see that.
Yeah, that's super unusual to see that. You know, it's funny, when I looked at the USL page today, they did not actually have Sacramento in second. I think they had us more in third, because the goals for and the goals against, I think it's the goal differential that puts us this one in second. But I actually think we should be below San Antonio because they've got 6 goals for.
Oh, yeah. That's a good observation. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess even Google doesn't like Uncle Ruckus, that they're like, yeah. I don't care. I don't right? care.
If they're to give us second instead of third, why complain?
I know. But I'm just saying, when I looked at what USL, because they're correct and Google's not always when it comes to things about the USL. So if you go down to USLChampionship.com, that next one down, just go to the main website and look at the whole standings up top there. Yeah, that one. And go to the Western Conference. I think you'll see we're not in second.
Oh, actually,
oh, no, it, they do.
Yes, we are.
They changed it because on their social media, they showed us in third. They did not. I don't think it was in second. Anyhow, I'll take it. It's fine. I think it's a goal differential that they must have taken a look at. But okay, so I'm
even then, yeah, we would be low. Like I said, Google and USL, they just don't like Uncle Ruckus FC. They're like, even though they have one more goal for the goal differential, yeah, I guess they just. Yeah.
Okay. So that's just okay. That's an unsolved mystery for you right there. So you know who could answer this? And I don't know if he's going to be listening to us is Rian. He would know the answer. He would know the answer. He mm-hmm. would just know. So I don't know if he's, you know, we can text him and say, take a look at this. Why?
Yeah. Now, I think if I'm not mistaken, we could see it here down here. Head-to-head is actually the first criteria. Of course, we haven't played against them yet, so that's okay. Kind of out the door right now. But yeah, okay. So head-to-head points earned is the first one. So that's okay. Why it's so important to make sure you beat the teams that are going to be right there above you, because that's what determines it. You know, you might have won 10-0 in one game, but that's not going to do you enough if you didn't beat the team that you're tied with, which is the fairest thing, by the way. I think everywhere in the world, that's how it should be. Forget goal differential. Sometimes teams have a bad night and you shouldn't completely punish them for that. It should be head to head everywhere.
Yep.
So there you have it. And let's go ahead and get into podcast winner dinner. I know I share the same sentiment, Sharon. Jared doesn't as much, but it was rough. Only 1 point was rewarded in this game because, again, own goal. And no assist, so that took care of that. And again,
and even our guest, Rian, didn't even, you know, none of us.
Yeah, and I could have gotten a point if Trevor would have just scored that goal. If he hadn't missed it, It would have been a 2-1. Even Rian would have gotten an honorary 1 point because he guessed that as well. But yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that didn't happen there. But the point was awarded to Jared because he was the only person who said that Indy would be getting the first yellow card. And they did in the second half. So it took a while. We weren't sure who was going to get that first point. But he gets it. And then the standings now. I'm leading the way with 4 points. Jared now has 3 points. And Sharon, maybe for the first time in a long time, is in last place with 2 points. So that's where that's at. We're still just a point away.
And I still got a quote reducto from Harvey Bourbon, attorney at law, used to be on Adult Swim. Ah, I win! I win! I don't lose! Oh, crap.
Well, I don't know. Did you guys just see the double bird fly across the screen?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Sadly, I can't beep that, but, you know, if it was video, I could blur it.
but you might not have been able to tell which finger because I'm kind of like sitting low, you know, low rider here.
You don't know if it's my ring finger. You don't know if it's my index finger.
Might have been my pinky finger.
Yeah, it wasn't your thumb, though. I know that's for sure.
We get spicy here on the podcast. I think Jared has to go first on his predictions.
Yeah, for sure. Because I don't think he's been first in a while.
All right. So since we're taking on Memphis, who have been moving here and there, but probably not quite all the way, I am going to say at least a 2-1 Republic win. I'm going to go with Amon for my first goal. If for some reason, if he isn't able to do so, then I am going to say, you know what, I'm feeling rollerball-ish on this, so I'm going to go with Jonathan Ricketts. And first yellow, I am going to say, unfortunately, against us, against Republic.
All right.
How about and, the of assist? Course, and the assist, I'm going to go with Nick Ross.
All right. Well, I'll go next. I think it's been out since Sharon's gone last. But I'm going to say a 2-0 win. I think we'll see another clean sheet, which will be really good for Danny because he needs to continue to build up his clean sheet record. First goal, I'm going to have faith in Russell this time. And I think he's long overdue. I think it's going to be his game to get it. And if he doesn't see the pitch, then I'm going to go with Roro getting the goal. Assist, I'm going to go with Jack. He's my assist leader. I think he's going to get it. First yellow. I'm actually going to go with Memphis for the first one. Sharon?
So I've got us also at 2-0, 2-0. And I've got Trevor scoring first. And if he does not see the pitch or is injured, I'm going with Nick, the boss. And my assist is going to be Aldair and Sack with the first yellow. Because we're playing at home and they always give us the first yellow. Come on! Although I don't know who the officials are.
And Not in the home opener, though. Home opener, I actually got a point thanks to OC getting the first yellow.
Oh, correct.
Things might be changing, but yeah. Like, I got faith. Hopefully, in whoever's ref. You know, it's 5-minute ref, Da Silva, who's back at it. But hopefully not. That would be crazy to see him ref two consecutive home games.
Yeah, we'll find out on Tuesday. The referee lineup always gets provided to us by John Crawford. And it's not Jonathan. It's not anything. It's just John. And it's J-O-N John. There's no H. I found all this out by going to the watch party.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to John, our official provider of Ref of the Week.
And Huddersfield Town information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what would we do without him?
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't have half as much fun. Shout out to Ryan. Real quick, because his chicken and waffles place is going to be opening up sometime. What was it? Early May in Davis. I think that's when they're hoping, or is it April? I forget. I think it's, who knows?
I thought it might have been early April.
Okay.
Yeah. I think next month. Yeah.
So that'll be a yummy spot to go. And yeah.
Yeah. And the plan is, I think eventually to do a live podcast show there. Sometime this season, So if Jared comes down, we'll plan it around that. And if you're not able to, then we'll figure out a way. Jared will still be there. We'll have Jared on the screen.
We'll figure something out because I've looked at the Instagram account, for the company as a whole. And there's a lot of good looking stuff there. So I know Davis is going to have something good lined up.
Yeah, there you go. And speaking of live podcasts and things like that, I know we're going to talk about some more soccer here. But don't forget our little series, we're soccer fans. And I can't wait for the next episode because we've got some more guests that are coming in for the episode. And as well as, I don't know if I'm going to get stuck in there, but I recorded one over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, too. So, yeah, that one's going to make an appearance in this next one that will be posted very soon.
Yeah.
So,
really appreciate Michael and John for sending in some materials. And we still have a couple Jareds in the wings. So, we've got some, we're soccer fans. So, keep sending us those as you're thinking of them. I mean, literally just do it when you're thinking of it, right? And we'll get you put in the clips because they're fun.
And I will say I may attempt one on Friday as I'm seeing Paul Oakenfold and Tempe. Because with a lot of these concerts, I'll end up bringing a Republic FC scarf. So maybe I'll work something out like that. Be prepared for captions, though.
Oh, that would be really funny. Cool. Well, all there right. You have it.
Soccer. There's more soccer. There's more soccer.
We have more to talk about. Oh, yeah. There's always more, right? And there's going to be even more, right, with the more of the leagues starting out with USLW and USL League 2 as well and all that. So, yeah, we got even a lot more. But in the meantime, we got the Open Cup that we know will be coming down Sacramento in May. Meantime, we're just keeping an eye out to see who our potential rivals will be. But one good thing is that there were a few MLS Next Pro teams that got eliminated. First round. I wish there were more. I have faith that in this next round, we're going to see more eliminated. I mean, there's like a matchup between the New Yorks and their two teams. So one of them won't be out and all that. So let's keep seeing those teams out. Again, y'all know why I got so much like just wishing fullness to like just have those teams out because of what happened. And I'm sure everyone was not pleased at seeing Don Garber's announcement and all the drama that was going on. But thankfully we got a cup going on, and in our side of the things, looking maybe potential prospective teams that we'd be playing against, focused here in the Central Valley first, we saw the FC Folsom game against Fuego, which shout out to everyone who went to the game. I know people were trying to get tickets and all that, and it seemed like it was a good atmosphere there for them. But ultimately Fuego traveling away ended up getting the win at 2-1. But hey, shout out to FC Folsom, because as a UPSL team, you don't got the budget that a League One team has, which it might not be like crazy here, but again, League One teams are a lot more sophisticated and all that. They have much better venues where they play at. So it is a big thing for them to just lose by one goal against Fuego.
Yeah. And then down on the other side, this one's my fun one. And I know Jared is fun one too. So you pronounce it and we'll take it from there. The other match.
Okay.
Oh my God. Is there this biggest burp? Oh my God. We just like freaking burp the heck out of it.
you'll have to pardon my Mr. McCoolism here. But yes, the big match, a lot of folks out west were talking about, although not the FC Folsom Central Valley Fuego match, but just amazing to hear. Portland Timbers 2 taking the El Farolito SC. Now, the story behind El Farolito is it's actually been around for a while, but the El Farolito SC name comes from a group of Bay Area burrito bars, taquerias. So the big tweet that was going around is, first of all, the fact that El Farolito actually beat an MLS-backed club, the Portland Timbers 2, which, of course, they used to play in the USL Championship a while ago, but they haven't for the past couple of years. But keep this. El Farolito, the Taqueria Club, is taking on Central Valley Fuego in round 2. We have yet to determine the date and where they're going to be playing. But just knowing those two are going to be playing, that's just got me hungry. You know, it's getting out that the heat, the burritos, It's like, where's the lengua? Give me some lengua or like a cabeza burritos. You know, just give me something.
And of course, you got the fuego, right? So you know it's gonna be a hot like plate of tacos or a hot burrito. Like, it's gonna be quite a game.
It's gonna be spicy like a Valentina, the black label.
So one of those two teams could potentially be playing against Sac Republic in the third round in April. In the third round in May is when they could potentially have that matchup against one of them. Although in the other side of things there too, you got, when we're looking at like other teams that are here not too far from us, you got Spokane Velocity FC, right? The new League One team that beat Ballard FC 1-0, Ballard FC being in League Two. And then LA Force beating Redlands FC 2-1, and they're in League Two as well. So one of those two teams could potentially also maybe play against Sac Republic in that third. And then on the other side of things too, another team that could potentially play against them, or one of two teams, is Ventura County FC or Irvine Zeta FC. Ventura from MLS Next Pro, and then Irvine from NISA, which of course we're rooting for the NISA team to beat the Next Pro team there. But the Hailstorm, who were one of the surprising teams in the Open Cup, right, where we know where we got to, they actually are going to be playing against the Rapids 2 and Next Pro. So we're rooting for our League One side there to beat them. And then Union Omaha, we all remember them. They made that historic run in the Open Cup. They're playing against Des Moines Menace. And what's really interesting about the Menace, other than the fact that this team's got a long history in the sport, there's a team that's been around for a long time, since the early 90s, I believe. But they actually signed Sacha Claystein. You guys remember him? From the U.S. national team. The guy was a pretty good defender, and he retired a few years ago. But the story goes that he actually got out of retirement this year to play for the Menace in the Open Cup because he met their head coach during, I think it was a cycling course that they were taking here in the LA area somewhere on there. And apparently, I mean, the Menace played in LA against Capo FC, and he got signed over just the cycling class and them talking. And then come to find out that they're going to play in the area, and he was like, sure, I'll sign up. And apparently he's going to be trying to get other former U.S. men's national team players to play for this team against you in Omaha. So that's a game you got to watch for sure.
So the thing is once you set your roster for the U.S. Open Cup, you can't make a ton of changes going forward. You have to, it's very judicious. So it's kind of restrictive. But it's funny about Sacha Claystein because he's also a commentator for Fox Soccer. So if you ever watch Fox Soccer, Sacha Claystein's on there, and it's interesting to know that he, you know, went on and played for USL2, you know, League 2 team. And then it's like, okay, but here's this experienced former pro, right? Sacha Claystein. And then he's also a commentator for Fox. And then it's just kind of like, oh, this is a bizarro world. Sorry. You know, when you see things like that, I guess it's a little bit like when a former MLS player, you know, we've had several come through our squad, you know, the former MLSers, and you know darn well, they're just kind of like, well, they look at us as the beer league. We're not, but you know, that's kind of like, okay, well, I can't play MLS anymore. So what is there left to do? Because I'm really not done playing. Otherwise known as Adam Moffitt, you know, Jeremy Hall, those guys. But they actually found out that our league is not so easy. It's hard. So they had to play. It wasn't like it was going to be a cakewalk. And I think that's what Sasha probably thought. Oh, it's a beer league. It's USL2. It's this total amateur thing. But then he gets in there and his old juices start firing. So hopefully he can help guide them, you know, with his maturity, because it's usually a lot of young players and, you know, collegiate guys that are playing on the two teams, USL2. There you have it.
Yeah. Interesting story to hear.
I've got to throw this in. That there's only one thing that reminds me of as far as him coming back to the pitch. One of my favorite movies of all time, The Running Man. This reminds me of Jesse Ventura's character, Captain Freedom, being out of retirement, being a commentator, all of a sudden decides, you know what? I'm going to get back on there. So he unretires, as the story goes, and ends up winning. But I won't give too much more of the movie afterwards. But I just had to throw it in there. That's what that reminded me of. I mean, dead set. The fact that he's used to play soccer. Now he's a commentator. But he decides to jump back into the lower division to get back into the fracas.
Okay, and I had it wrong. It's not Fox. It's the reason why I probably got it wrong is it's brand new. He's one of the Apple Plus, the MLS commentators for Apple.
Oh. Yeah.
So, you know how they've moved all the MLS teams into the Apple sphere, Apple TV. So anyhow, yeah, no, that's where he is. And it's like they don't have the best commentators for that tier. I still think Paramount has the absolute best commentators. If you watched the game yesterday and you watched it through Paramount Plus, Kate Abdu is just like phenomenal. And all of the commentators they had Jesse Marsh. They had Charlie Davies. You know, they had Clint Dempsey. I mean, they had the best commentators. So, and then Sasha Kleschen, I've never seen him as a commentator. It's kind of boring, but he's on the Apple TV commentator group, not Fox. They have way better commentators on Fox. I think it's Lexi Lawless, and, you know, they have way better commentators there. So, that being said,
Yeah, well, hopefully we see more players kind of follow along. I mean, players coming out of retirement, it's kind of interesting, right, to see one player, like, in his situation there, like, lead the team on because they actually won by PKs. It was a 5-4, and he scored one of the PKs. So I don't know if he scored the bit PK or which one, but I did hear that he scored one of them. And just see those stories to see a player lead this team on. I mean, just like Jared mentioned, I mean, that's like a movie moment right there, but happening here in the Open Cup and just helping his team get some cup sets because it's always nice to see those. And I mean, yeah, shout out to El Farolito for, I think, bringing us the first cup set in the first round because it is a big deal for a team in NPSL to be an MLS Next Pro team because you got players that are probably around the same age, right, with MLS Next Pro and all that are playing against each other. And to have a team in NPSL that, you know, you're not getting players that are getting paid and they have more financial restrictions. And not just that, but they traveled to Portland to play in Providence Park, too, of all things, right? They're playing in this venue that they could only dream of playing at. And they get the win, too. I mean, that's just awesome. And it's a shame that they have to play against Fuego because I wish both of them would just move on to the third round. But yeah, that's always got to be. Yeah, I think one of those will play against Czech Republic, though. I think that's where the draw is going to lead us to. So we definitely got to keep a close eye on that game when we find out when that game is going to happen, right? Because all the other games, there's dates attached to them. That's the only game that they don't even know where it's going to be played at. I don't know why. If anyone does know, send us a message because I haven't figured out what's going on there. But hopefully they can get that sorted out soon so we know where it will be played at. I'm assuming it'll be played in Fresno. That seems more logical because they have the venue already. Who knows?
Well, let's also remember that Fresno State is still doing renovation work on the stadium there as well. So they're only going to have a max capacity of 1,000 compared to how many they would normally draw for USL. One match. So that's probably where the TBD is at, you know, still to be determined where they're going to have it, either somewhere in the Bay Area, if they're still going to be able to have it at Fresno State, or option 3.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, hey, they want to play at Hart Hill Park. That'd be really great. They could get a lot of people right there, or if they're looking for a neutral venue, I guess, in the middle of the Bay Area in Fresno, then we could always play at my alma mater, Stan State. We got a stadium there. Any last final parting words, Sharon, Jared, before we say goodnight, y'all, and we'll see y'all next Saturday if you're going to the game?
I'm sorry, I have a hamstring cramp from bending over, so I couldn't say anything for the last couple of minutes because I was dealing with the pulling weeds hamstring cramp. But go Republic, and we hope everybody shows up at the match. Weather's looking kind of iffy, but you know what? Get a big old rain jacket and let's go cheer on this squad before we start getting into the seasons of others. We have this one. The Academy is doing really well again, so it's all a hotbed right here.
Just to split the two accounts, for all your memes that could be questionable, you know, still follow Port Power AZ, but for more soccer-related items and preferably more family-friendly items as well, visit at Port Power SOTR. So that's where it's going to be a little bit more soccer-centric as far as that goes. So if you see a request or if you see the handle, be sure to follow. Yeah, but the memes are still going to continue, so you'll see both of them here and there. And let's pack out to Hard Elk Park. You know, get some victory barbecued by beating Memphis. Go Republic.
Yeah, and as I always say, whenever there's a home game, y'all, go get your tickets now. Be there early. Check it out. It's going to be a good game. You know, we haven't had a home game in a few weeks now, and after this one, we have another game, and then after the April 27th game, they're going to make us wait a whole month until the end of May. So go to these games if you're able to, because they're going to make us go a whole month without home games. So enjoy them and enjoy them before we go through that little break of away games. But good luck to the guys. It's going to be a tough game, but I mean, we want to see the goals and want to see Trevor get his fourth goal. So be sure to get it, but don't get it first, Trevor. Get it second, because I want Russell to get the first goal so I can get a point. So I can keep being first place and being just one game closer to getting that prestigious trophy that we have, the soccer player tape dispenser.
Ha, ha, ha.
Great. Everyone, have a good morning or good night whenever you're listening to us. And thank you so much for listening to Stay of the Republic podcast.
Cue the music.
Wait, You're muted, Jared.
The mute button works again.
Talent is going to Europe, is developing their game, and it's getting... Oh. Whoa. What happened?
I got a mute.
And it wasn't the cats, everyone, because Sharon just told us that the cats aren't even in the room right now.
No, I scared the cat. The cat ditched me. Because I was trying, I forgot to put myself on mute when I tried to catch a mosquito, and it was right above the camera. I'm putting myself on mute right now.